Good morning and welcome to worship this morning, and a warm welcome to Susan who's standing in for Audrey as she has a wee break this week. So just a few intimations that I wanted to bring to your attention. Most of them have been in the screen, but I know we didn't have much time with the intimations because we had a wee bit of trouble this morning. So first of all, Rainforest Cafe is on as normal after worship and on Wednesday. Mainly music is on Tuesday, and the Planet Earth After School Club is back on Tuesday afternoon. It's been off because of the Easter code running for the schools. So that's all the schools have been down and been through the Easter code story, and it's been a big success. So it's your turn. Monday night at 6:30 for the adults. Anybody that wants to go, if you could either speak to Karen in the cafe or give her a wee text to say that you're interested. She will do it on Tuesday night as well if there are people that prefer to come on Tuesday. But Monday's a definite. So that's this week as well. On Friday, there's a Lenten lunch at Kirsteers at 12 o'clock. If anybody's interested in attending that, just be a short reflection and prayer time and a bowl of soup. So it would be good to see anybody that's maybe free to go along with that. Next Sunday will be our annual stated meeting after worship. It'll just be a quick meeting. It won't take very long, hopefully. So if we would like for people to stay behind if they can, just for that meeting. If you have got other plans, though, don't worry, it's fine. You will be able to leave after the service. And also next Sunday, which is Palm Sunday, St Nicholas Choir will be happening at 7 o'clock in the evening at St Nicholas. That's Audrey is part of that choir. So anybody that would like to go along, that'll be at 7 o'clock. It's normally a very good event. I'll give you the Holy Week services next week. Saturday coming is our Guild Fair. So you know how much we'll look forward to that. Tickets are available at the back, and don't all rush. You'll get them for Anne at the end, okay? So £3 a ticket, and they're available for other members as well, but Anne has got some at the back today if you're interested. And if anybody's got any notes for the next newsletter, if you leave them at the back, and Lynn will collect them after the service. Thank you.
I greet you in the name of God the Father, who loves you and keeps you safe in the care of Jesus Christ. May it be that we receive mercy, peace, and love. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And a warm welcome to our worship service this morning. Last week, we was Mothering Sunday. During this service, we honored mothers for their love and encouragement, and we really just acknowledge that mothers are wonderful, and we are absolutely so grateful that we have mothers in this world. With seriousness, we went a bit further by acknowledging that many could experience a day like Mother's Day as being difficult. And the reason for the difficulty can be for many, many reasons. I use the example of the lady that I spoke to that has never cleared her mother's cupboard. She lost her mother, and for many, many years, she just couldn't get to a point that she could say goodbye. And the consequence was that she kept the clothes of her mother for many years. So Mothering Sunday is this sort of day of acknowledging, yes, it's wonderful, we love mothers, but the other side of the coin is we say, yo, it's also a difficult time for people as well. And that was the sermon for last week. Then we went a bit further by introducing God as a mother. We reflected on this idea that God is a mother, being motherly towards us. Mothering God, that is consistent with her love and acceptance. God as mother who is always lovable or loving towards us. And this love of God can be seen through the actions of the cross. And this is the Lenten season, and we reflect on the cross. and on the meaning of the cross. And one of the paradoxes that we find in the cross is that through the death of God, he demonstrates love. We will continue unpacking the understanding of the cross this Sunday. And the angle that we will be taking is from understanding Christ as the middle person or the middleman, God representing us, Jesus representing us to God, and God communicating or interacting with us through Jesus. So Jesus as the middle person, and that will be the angle that we will be studying or reflecting on the cross this morning. That's our introduction. Let us now approach God with our call to worship. Lord, be our God. Lord, be our God. Let us worship God with our first hymn. You are before me, God. You are behind me. Let us approach God with our prayer. Lord God, we look up to you and we give you glory, for you are King of Kings. We are grateful to be here in this space, Lord, to worship you. Thank you for this time and this moment in our week that we can dedicate just to think of you and to ponder your word. Christ, thank you that you are representing us in heaven. Thank you that you are the middleman between us and God. Thank you, Lord, that we can know that there is someone representing us in heaven. Thank you that you are in the court, Lord, making our concerns and our requests known to God. We then approach you, Lord, with our prayers that is in our hearts and the prayers that is in our minds. We direct them to you, Lord, knowing that you will communicate this to God in heaven. Thank you, Lord, that you have sacrificed yourself for us. Thank you for your sacrificial love that you have demonstrated on the cross. Lord, it is a paradox to think about the cross and know that that is your way of demonstrating love. But Lord, we ask that you will make that idea clear for us this morning so that we can understand what it means that God died on our behalf. We should have died, Lord, but you took our place. For this, Lord, we are so grateful. You have taken death on yourself so that we may be free. And it's with this freedom, Lord, that we worship you. We choose, Lord, to worship you. There are so many other options in the world of doing this, doing that, Lord. But we, Lord, here in Forth, choose to be here in this house, Lord, worshiping you. You are our King, Lord, and we choose you. Forgive us if we have not respected your actions on the cross. Forgive us if we make light your saving works. Lord, forgive us if we do not act without considering your greater will. We ask, Lord, that you will now shine your face on us. Be our God. Lead us. Write your laws on our hearts so that we can discern between good and evil, what is right and what is wrong. Help us, give us clarity, Lord, so that we can walk the fine path that is towards heaven, Lord. Be before us, direct our ways, Lord. Be our God. Remember our sins no more, we pray, so knowing that you will warm our hearts and warm our souls this morning. Forgive us, Lord. Do not remember our sins anymore. May our souls become still in this place this morning so that we can feel your comfort, feel your reassurance. With that quietness in our hearts, Lord, we pray together. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Let us worship O God with our next hymn, Be Still My Soul, the Lord is on your side. Good morning, boys and girls. We're going to play a game today. You excited? Okay. So are you ready? Do you want to play it now or a bit later? No. Okay. So, wonder. Let's start with the congregation. I'm going to see if this is going to work. Or rather not. Maybe start with the kids. I think it's going to work with the kids. Huh? Okay, so I want you to stand in a line for me. Okay, you can maybe stand over here. Okay, and Jigsaw, you will have to help as well. So one Jigsaw leader need to stand at that point, and the other Jigsaw leader can stand in that point. Okay, so you have to stand up for me, please. Okay, so you stand right over here. A little bit over to the side, right there. There you go. You stand over here. Right there. You can come a bit. There you go. Just not allowed to cheat. Okay, there you go. Oops. Okay, so what's going to happen now is I'm going to say a word to Grace. Okay, and Grace needs to send this word. No, say this. Whisper. Whisper. No, I'm not allowed. No, you don't have to sing. So Grace has to send this word to the next person, and you have to send that word to the next person. How are we going to send the word is by whispering in the person's ear. You just allow to whisper it once. Okay, so I'm going to say the word for Grace, and she needs to whisper the ear in your ear, whisper the word in your ear, and then we can see what will happen on the end. Okay, the congregation ready? Susan, you have to play something dramatic. Just wait. I'm just going to whisper to something dramatic. Yes. I'm just thinking of a word that I need to send. Okay. Just once. What word?
Never heard it.
Never heard it. Okay, that was easy. So the word that I sent through was grace. So that was easy. That's what I sent. Okay, so let's try another word. I'm going to make it a bit easier. Come on, you can do it. You can do it. Okay.
Eleven.
Well done. That is excellent. Well done. Okay. So we try it one more time. I'm going to make a difficult one this time. Okay. I can't say that.
Fantastic.
Oh, well done. You're very good. Thank you so much. Thank you, Susan. Oh, you may sit down. Okay. It's a funny game, isn't it? Like the first time we didn't really get it right, and the second time we managed to get it right. But it, you know, a lot can go wrong. You can, what is the, everything that can go wrong? Like someone can maybe say the word wrongly, so mispronounce it. You can maybe not hear correctly. So let's say, for example, I've got a very, very important message to communicate. And the only way we can communicate is by sending a message with one person to the other person. A lot can go wrong. And you actually done pretty well. Huh? You've all got the word correctly, so I'm very, very proud of you. But I do get the impression that the more people we have, the likelihood of the word not getting to the end is quite strong. You know, it's highly likely that it will go wrong. So what is your thoughts on this game? Do you think you will be reliant, if you need to send a very important message to someone, do you think this is the best way of doing it? What do you think? You don't think so? No. Because there's so much things that can go wrong. As much I would say if you want to communicate and effectively, the best thing is just to talk directly with the person you want to communicate to. Maybe send a letter or an email, text message. So direct communication is much better than having a lot of people to rely on to send a message through. Now, what is happening here is that I'm standing on that side and there's another person on this side and we're trying to, there's a middle, people in the middle, a middle person that needs to, that we are relied upon. And in our Bible reading today, Jesus functions as the middle person. But our game is not really reliable, but the Bible teaches us that Jesus is reliable. So Jesus is the middle person, he represents us in the heavens. And we can rely upon him. We can trust him that he is communicating the correct information, our real thoughts, our real feelings, all our questions and our concerns. He is communicating in heaven, in the presence of God. And we can trust in him. And this brings about a very important idea, boys and girls, that I want you to really embrace. And it's called gratefulness. To be grateful in life. And that's a key Christian component. To be grateful that we have someone in heaven representing us. It's not like there's nothing and we're just on our own here in the world. No, we can be grateful knowing that Jesus in heaven has demonstrated his love through the cross and he is representing us in heaven. And that is something that we can be grateful for. And that gratefulness can extend to many different aspects of our own lives in what we do. And I was wondering, what do you think? What are you grateful for in life? And I'm quite curious. What are you? Are you just like, I'm so grateful for this? Oh, on the spot, your football team has won.
Food.
Yeah, that's a good thing to be grateful for.
Family and football.
Anything? Sorry, again? Bad pets, yeah. What are you grateful for? What do you like? Tractors. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, be grateful for tractors. Yeah. Because if you don't have tractors, you can't basically eat because tractors cultivates the food. That's a big word. Cultivates the ground and, yeah, that's a good one. So gratefulness. But the gratefulness, Christian gratefulness, is extended a little bit bigger, a little bit larger. Yes, we're grateful for the things that we have on the planet or what we have directly that is affecting us. But spiritual gratefulness is that we have a representative in heaven who is talking on our behalf, who's communicating on our behalf in heaven. And that's a spiritual gratefulness that is that we can embrace and that we can acknowledge. And from that point, we can filter it down to the smaller gratefulnesses that we have in our day-to-day lives. Amen. So you're going to go play the game afterwards? And you can use that big word, Grace. What is that big word? Califragilistic. Expectocious. I won't be able to say that. Okay. Yeah. And the next hymn is... there you go. This is the day.
The reading this morning is from Hebrews 5, verses 7 to 9. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and, once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him.
Sometimes it is required to have a middle man or a middle person in life. A middle man is a person who positions himself between two entities and position herself between two entities. Examples can be a lawyer or a negotiator. So it's a situation where the two parties don't really get along with one another, and then you get a lawyer or negotiator to find some kind of middle ground and then to work or to resolve the issue or whatever the case may be. There could be situations where being in the middle should also just be avoided, especially if the circumstances is so of such a nature that you just really need to get out of it. As I can just think of a good example, maybe of a very toxic relationship where the fighting is of such complex nature, you don't want to find yourself in that middle. It's then advisable maybe to get someone who has the skill set to resolve a very complex situation. And you will call that person a middleman. I remember at school we played a game called Middleman, in English, Middleman. This game comprised of two children throwing a ball to one another. In the middle of the boys throwing this ball, there was a third child trying to catch the ball. The aim of the game was to throw the ball without the third child in the middle catching it. And if the third child managed to catch this ball, that was his opportunity then to go stand on the outside to throw the ball. And the child who threw the ball that was caught, that child needs to go stand in the middle. So it's a great game, and I remember we had a lot of fun playing this. In the Old Testament, we also read of a middle person or a middleman. A good example of a middle person was called Moses, the prophets, and even a high priest. Their job was to mediate between God and his people. Their job was to communicate the message that they've received from the Israelites to God and vice versa. They had to relay messages between the two parties, that of God and his people. And as I demonstrated with this game of the communication, a lot of things can go wrong. So their job was very, very important and very, very serious to make sure that they communicate and do the right thing, communicate the right message to God and also to the people. One can imagine the strict criteria for selecting a person to doing such a role. You can't just select any person to be a middle person. He needs to be highly skilled and reliable. He needs to be trustworthy. The responsibility was in the fact that the correct message had to be communicated. And also the way he was communicating, the right protocols had to be followed. The consequence can be catastrophic if the communication was incorrect, especially if you can imagine between God and the Israelites. If Moses communicated the wrong thing to the Israelites, it could have been catastrophic. In our Bible reading today, the Hebrews reading emphasizes the role of the middleman, and we just really read a very short little piece highlighting emphasizing the dynamics of a middle person. Jesus Christ is the middleman between us and God, and that's something that is very clear in the Hebrews reading. He represents us in the courts of heaven, and he has the skill set. He is trustworthy to do the job. The book Hebrews unpacks this point very, very concisely, from the beginning to the end. Now, if you really want to understand Hebrews, the book, you need to read it from the beginning to the end with one go, because there's one long argument that the writer is making, and it's it's a fascinating reading, and it's something that I really would encourage the congregation to dip into. And if you have the stamina, try to read it from the beginning to the end, so you can understand what the writer is trying to communicate. And there's no doubt in my mind that the book Hebrews is a very well-written book, consequently making it very profound. It is one of those books that will easily be quoted at church events or new church movements. If you see a new church movement somewhere, it's highly likely that they will be inspired by one of these sentences that you will find in the book Hebrews. Although profound, it is also a very, very mysterious book. It's mysterious because we do not know who wrote it. We honestly do not know who wrote this book. There is some speculation about who is the writer, but scholars do not agree on who it could be. It was highly likely a converted Jew who wrote it. It was a Jew that became a Christian, and then he wrote this book. But what we do know of this book is that it emphasizes Jesus as the middle person. He's the new high priest. He is the new Moses. And he is representing us as converted Christians to heaven. Where in the Old Testament they had Moses or the high priests or even the prophets to represent them to God, we have now Jesus who is representing us in heaven. And we trust in him to communicate the correct information. From the start to the finish, this book continuously declares the significance of Jesus. And ultimately is just saying, very, very briefly, it's just saying that Moses, the new representative, is Christ. In our short reading, we have heard the function of Jesus, and that is of this middle person representing us in heaven. The consequence is that he becomes the source of eternal salvation. He is the anchor point that makes salvation possible. Jesus takes the responsibility of intervening, becoming our high priest in heaven. We can understand Jesus was almost the key to heaven. As it states in the reading, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Jesus was heard by God. God heard the requests of Jesus made to God whilst he was in heaven. Obviously, this acknowledges that God accepts Jesus and his position. This quotation makes it is a very important quotation in the sense that it communicates to us that God accepts Jesus. What Jesus has done on the cross is more than enough. And because what he has done on the cross, it is acceptable for God. Due to God accepting Jesus and his work, it makes trusting him possible. And this brings it back to the important concept that we need to build into our lives, and that is the whole idea that we may trust. We may trust in God. We may trust in difficult situations. We may trust in easy, comfortable situations. In those times that things are not unclear, we may trust because of the workings of Jesus in heaven. The action of dying on our behalf at the cross was enough for God. What Jesus has done 2,000 years ago was enough. We don't have to do the same thing anymore. We don't have to crucify ourselves. Jesus has done it already. God accepted Jesus intervening for us by dying on the cross. The sacrificial action of Jesus was significant Therefore, he became the source of eternal salvation. He is sort of the something we can tap into Jesus to get that energy. Well, let's rather just say what's saying here. The sacrificial action of Christ was sufficient. Therefore, he became the source of eternal salvation. He became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey. And this is what we need to do in our daily lives, is to build the daily habit of obeying God by praying to God and by being choosing God on a daily basis. Christ as the middle person is enough for us to enjoy eternal salvation. We do not have to perform to embrace, to receive eternal salvation. We can only obey Jesus Christ in receiving the eternal salvation. Although this reading refers mainly to salvation in the future, and it's really about this vision that we have that one day we will be with Jesus Christ in heaven, we can also interpret this reading by making it relevant for the here and the now. In the sense that God is intervening on our current situations. God is intervening in the midst, is intervening in our current situations. In the current situations, Jesus is acting as the middle person, making our requests known to God. Therefore, we can freely pray to God on a daily basis, knowing that God will hear. We have a person that we can trust up there, listening and conveying. As we pray with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus, our requests are communicated to God. There is a reliable link between us and heaven. I think in the modern day society, we live in a time where the link has been broken. Secularization just focuses on the here and the now, the visible, what is affecting you directly. But Christianity, faith, takes it a bit further by saying, yes, we live in the here and the now, but there's a link, a chain, and this chain goes to heaven. Life is much more meaningful than just the here and the now. Life has a other dimension, and this dimension is a connection to heaven. And that connection we should never underestimate. In life circumstances, we may trust in Jesus. We may trust in Him representing us. It then becomes the case that we may pray through Jesus, making our questions, concerns, and requests known to Him. We may communicate, and one of the key components of Christian faith is that it's a faith of communication. We communicate with one another, we communicate to God, and God communicates to us. We may speak to Him. How and when God answers is another question. But the point of the message today is that Christ is our eternal source for salvation. And we may live with trust. Trust in Him. Trust in that chain that is connected to heaven. Trusting in that other dimension that brings a very deep spiritual meaning to our lives. We sometimes need a lawyer. We sometimes need a negotiator to help us in times of need. Our faith encapsulates the belief that Christ is that someone helping us out. We choose to trust in Christ helping us out. For such a reason, we may be grateful as salvation was brought to God. It was brought to us by God. God has brought the salvation to us, and we may be grateful for that. It was brought to us through the actions of Christ on the cross. Amen. Let us continue worshiping God with our next hymn, Salvation Belongs to Our God. No, immortal, invisible, God only wise. I do apologize.
As Jesus offered up prayers and petitions to God, we too bring our prayers for others before God. Let us pray. Almighty God, we come before you now asking that you would hear our prayers for our world, our community, our church, and for ourselves. We pray for the world. Where there is conflict, bring peace. Where there is hatred, bring love. Where there is famine, bring relief. Where there are disasters, bring hope. Almighty God, hear our prayers. We pray for our community. Where there is sorrow, bring peace. Where there is anger, bring love. Where there is poverty, bring relief. Where there is despair, bring hope. Almighty God, hear our prayer. We pray for our church. Where there are disagreements, bring peace. Where there is discord, bring love. Where there are worries, bring relief. Where there is disillusionment, bring hope. Almighty God, hear our prayer. We pray for ourselves. When we see conflict, sorrow, or disagreements, may we bring peace. When we encounter hatred, anger, or discord, may we bring love. When we hear of famine, poverty, or worries, may we bring relief. When we hear of disasters or those in despair or disillusioned, may we bring hope. Almighty God, hear our prayer. Help us to be like Christ and surrender ourselves to your will. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Offerings will now be received. Jesus, thank you that you are in heaven, representing us in the courts of God. Lord, we pray in your name, and we thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for these offerings, Lord, that we have received. And we ask, Lord, that through your Holy Spirit, you will inspire us to use the monies wisely so that we can extend your kingdom and also communicate to the people here in Forth and in Scotland. Communicate and tell about you, Lord, who is the salvation of souls, and through you we have eternal life. We pray this in your mighty name. Amen. Christ is made the sure foundation. The sacrificial action of Christ on the cross is the source to eternal salvation. Christ is the middle person representing us in heaven. God is also intervening for us in our current situations. We may trust through the faith that Jesus is acting on our behalf, making our requests known to God. Salvation was brought by God through the actions of His Son on the cross. Go with a grateful heart. In the presence of the Holy Spirit, may the peace of God, which is beyond all understanding, guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Amen.